Joining me now on the line is the leader of the United Democratic Movement, Bantu Holomisa, and the DA's chief whip, John Steenhuisen, both, of course, very intimately involved in that motion of no confidence. Gentlemen, good evening. Welcome to Talk at Nine.
Good evening, Karima.
John, are you with us?
Good evening, Karima, and good evening to the listeners. It's great to be with you again.
Thank you so much. I know that you guys are extremely busy and very many radio stations want your time, so let's get straight to it. Mr. Holomisa, you are on record as saying that you're not holding your breath on the speaker granting that secret ballot. Do you think that she is going to, at 3:30 tomorrow, insist that MPs vote in an open vote and that there is, in fact, no reason to have that secret ballot?
Well, the latest is that Madam Speaker will make her announcement at 3:30 tomorrow as to whether the vote will be secret or open. And secondly, the leaders of the opposition parties will be meeting at 2:00 tomorrow to prepare their reaction as to whether if she says yes to secret ballot or no to secret ballot. And we cannot be that careless. We are leaders in this country. We have to listen to her rationale or reasons given why she would say there's a need for secret ballot or open setup. So we will be waiting for her, and I think we should not be too excited. Let us give her an opportunity. As far as Zuma is concerned, Zuma is a manipulative liar. He told Parliament that the public protector did not give him the opportunity to respond to her queries. But later on, we read or we heard from the ENCA the tapes which proved that Zuma was given about 4 hours. Zuma is a liar. He should be in jail in actual fact. Let us not waste our time. But we are waiting for the speaker tomorrow to tell us what is her decision. And we need to respect her to pronounce that decision. And then the leaders of the opposition will respond after that.
John, let me bring you in here. You have accused the speaker of acting in bad faith. You are said that she wants to, bring the house or create confusion and, bring the decision as late as possible. Do you believe that she's going to act in good faith? Do you share Bantu Holomisa's position that we must give her space, that we mustn't prejudge?
Well, I think the court was very clear that she has a discretion, but I think she's exercised that discretion in a remarkably reckless and irresponsible manner. To make the announcement on the decision less than 24 hours before the vote is due to take place, knowing full well the public interest in this matter, knowing full well that she already knows in her mind what she's going to do, I think is completely reckless. And what she's wanting to do is to make the vote on Tuesday, or the debate on Tuesday, not about this terrible president that we have in office, who has pushed 9 million South Africans into the unemployment queue, who has rendered us to junk status and has pushed us into a technical recession. She wants to make it about the secret ballot. So it's a good smokescreen for her to do what she set out to do since she took that seat in Parliament, which is to protect President Zuma and her party at all costs, even if that comes at the expense of dumbing down the Constitution, Parliament, and the people of South Africa.
Now, it's coming up for just about 9:15. This is, of course, Talk at Nine on a Sunday evening. I'm Karima Brown, in conversation with the leader of the United Democratic Movement, General Bantu Holomisa, and also the DA Chief Whip, John Steenhuisen. General Holomisa, the...
Yes.
the strategy of the opposition in the event that she doesn't grant the secret ballot? Are you going to take the matter on review? You obviously have to study her reasons. They have to pass the rationality test. If they don't, are you going to go to court? And more importantly, are you going to argue that this is an urgent matter?
No, it cannot be classified as an urgent matter. We have been challenging Zuma to go for the last 7 years. It's no longer an urgent matter. So, but I think what is important here is that the leadership of the opposition in taking a final decision must also look at the energy of the country, the frustration as expressed by the civil society, the church religious leaders and everybody else, and say, out of this, what should we be saying if Malega Mbete says it's in the open? And also, he's going to test some of these hypocrites who always say Zuma must go, who are in the cabinet today. If we say tomorrow, all right, we will vote in the open, do you expect Cyril Ramaphosa, do you expect people like Blade Zimande, SACP, the former Minister of Finance, and all of them, will they vote openly? If they don't, they are hypocrites. So in one way or another, we are the winners in this case. So I'm not even worried about whether they vote or they don't vote. But the truth of the matter is that the opposition parties have been, had seized the initiative from day one when Zuma ascended to power with dark clouds hanging on his head with 783 charges. ANC will never recover from that until such time that ANC takes a decision to say, Zuma, go back home. As long as they want to protect him, the opposition parties will seize it, will continue to seize the initiative. Let us not be philosophical about this. Just simplify it.
John, the argument among the pro-Zuma camp in the ANC has always been that this is not about the president. This is about the opposition parties wanting to remove the ANC. General Holomisa, you have had an opportunity to speak. Can I please formulate my question? Thank you.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that there has been the argument that this is about that the opposition is not genuine in its attempt to deal with the president. It wants to remove a ruling party from office, a governing party that has been legitimately elected in a free and fair election. In fact, there is going to be a prayer meeting in KwaZulu-Natal by the Amakhosi to protest this issue. What do you say to the proponents of that argument, considering that there are two ways to remove the president in terms of the constitution? There's section 89 and then there's of course as section 102. You guys have gone for 102, which is the motion of no confidence. What do you say to that argument?
Well, I think it's completely disingenuous, Karima, for one important reason. The ANC will not be dislodged from power should this motion succeed. It will simply mean that the president and his cabinet must resign. Thereafter, a new government will be formed. The ANC has a 62% majority in the House of the National Assembly. And so they must elect a new cabinet and a new president, within the 30-day period. So this isn't a dislodgement of the ANC. It's a dislodgement of a president who's rotten, who's gone rogue, and who sold South Africa out to the Gupta family, and who continues to benefit personally from holding office. And so this is, us trying to do what Mogoeng said in his judgment very clearly. These motions are a very good measure of democratic hygiene and a great tool of accountability. And the sad thing is that this should have been a motion brought by the ANC. The ANC shouldn't be relying on the opposition to do this work. The ANC should have done it. But, I think a lot of people forget the fact that before President Zuma could capture the state, he had to capture the party first.
So you have many captured people sitting on the ANC benches, and that's why they're coming up with all these disingenuous arguments to try and weasel out of the job they should be doing.
Gentlemen, one of you is in a very noisy place. Can you move to a more quieter place so that we can actually just have a bit of a secure line and can hear the conversation? I'm not sure what is causing. I think there's someone's radio is on. There's a lot of feedback.
Okay.
Hi, John. Sorry, I interrupted you. Please do continue.
Before President Zuma could capture the state, he had to capture the party first. And so on those ANC benches, you have many captured people. And that's why they're hiding behind these disingenuous arguments, the likes of which you've just shared, which, you know, simply make no sense. This is about South African Parliament doing the right thing by the people and by the Constitution. That's precisely why the Constitution allows for a Section 102 motion to be able to hold the executive accountable. And when they do not perform, or where they act through acts of omission and commission, harm the people of South Africa, harm the Constitution, harm our democracy, that there's a mechanism to remove them. And so, you know, I would certainly like to see, you know, more ANC MPs, you know, supporting this. And that's really why I don't think we're going to have a secret vote on Tuesday, because the Speaker knows, just as Mr. Zuma knows, that even if one ANC MP breaks ranks on that day and abstains or votes against the president, they have lost the day. They will go into this December conference with this unity in the year of Otembo completely shattered. And Zuma will go in far weaker into December.
General Hulumisa, let me bring you in here. You've spoken about the fact that many of the ANC MPs don't have backbones. You've called them hypocrites. But when you argued this matter at the Concord, you did refer extensively to the kind of intimidation and threats that many MPs, ANC MPs, have been subjected to. We know of Makosi Khoza. We know of the Human Settlements Minister, Lindiwe Sisulu. Are you now saying that those threats are not real?
No, those threats are real. And that's precisely why we are anticipating that perhaps the Speaker, in her rational reasons, she would grant a secret ballot. Because right now, as we speak, people are being killed in KZN because they have different opinions from within the same party. So she should be careful and make sure that whatever her decision she takes, at least she looks, she makes sure that she protects those individuals who have different views.
Now, if one looks at the way in which the balance of forces is stacking up, obviously you are not in the ANC, both you and John, but you do have, you know, contact with people. You are collegial with people on the benches and so on. You've cooperated on a number of committees across party lines to hold people accountable, particularly there in areas where state capture is at play. Let me start with you, General Hulumisa. What is your sense? Is Luthuli House going to be able to enforce that three-line whippery, do you think?
Well, the problem, Luthuli House, they need to read the signals. This campaign to remove Zuma is no longer the campaign of the opposition parties. It is being perpetuated by their own members of parliament, the civil society, the Council of Churches, which have been allies of the ruling party for many years. The civil society you see in the streets and the veterans you see, they are the people who are campaigning that Zuma please save South Africa, just leave. So all I'm happy about is that the UDM and other parties have said, let's make use of the secret ballot. Maybe you will achieve your objective. We have tried 7 times and we have failed. But the difference this time around is that this campaign is led by the civil society. Those are the voters. So it's up to the ANC whether to snap the civil society or not.
John, your sense, I mean, other leaders of opposition parties like the EFF, you know, have indicated that they have spoken to quite a few ANC members. In fact, Julius Malema saying about 60. General Holomisa, when he spoke over the weekend, he said, what, close to 70, 75. From where the DA is sitting and from some of the interactions that you guys have, is there a sense that the opposition within the caucus of the ANC is in fact growing? Do you think they're going to be able to, you know, hold that three-line whippery?
Karima, I certainly believe, and I know from my own interactions with a number of people on the government benches, that there's a great deal of dissatisfaction. I think that there's a great deal of people within the ANC who are looking very nervously towards 2019. Particularly, you know, looking back to the local government elections where the ANC lost a huge amount of support, there are MPs sitting on those benches now looking at 2019 and realizing that if the current trend continues, it's unlikely they will come back to Parliament. And so I think that they are, you know, also want to get rid of President Zuma. They want to close the chapter on the Zuma years and start writing a new chapter for South Africa. But I believe that the secret ballot would give a lot of them a lot more cover to be able to do so without threats or intimidation or reprisals for them exercising their conscience. However, I think we're going to see a number of anti-MPs either abstain or perhaps vote against, and also maybe just stay away on the day.
The other option. Let me put it to both of you. Is it not in your interest as leaders of opposition parties who wish to dislodge the ANC in its entirety from power that the vote is open and that the ANC MPs are then put on the spot? Let me start with you, General Holomisa.
The truth of the matter, from a national point of view, we would like to see Zuma going yesterday. But from a political point of view, if ANC is dilly-dallying, we would be happy if they protect Zuma. And we would be able to expose these hypocrites who say they don't want Zuma. But when they are given an opportunity to vote, they still protect him. So in one way or another, the opposition are the winners. Thank you.
John?
Karima, just to say that I think that there's an important rule in politics. And there's a natural order that you need to take things. The first is country first, party second, self third. And we've seen what happens when people get this order wrong. We saw it with David Cameron and Theresa May, who decided to put their party first instead of putting their country first. So I definitely think that, you know, there comes a time where I think it's in the best interest of South Africa for Zuma to go. And whatever political leverage or gain that we would get by them keeping him, I think is massively offset by the huge beneficial floodgates that will open with Zuma's departure, particularly in terms of getting South Africa's economy moving forward again. And so I think that there's far more to gain by Zuma going for us as a country than there is by him staying. But if the ANC want to ride this horse into the 2019 elections, it's like taking a donkey to the Durban July. They want to back him, that's fine, they can do so, but there will be consequences for them in 2019 as more and more South Africans turn their back on the ANC and start looking for alternatives to back.
Now, that 2 o'clock meeting that General Holomisa was speaking about, John, are the opposition parties united in the strategy, whatever the speaker, you know, decides?
Well, obviously, that's above my pay grade, Karima. That meeting's always handled by Musi Maimane, the leader of the DA. But I certainly think that we've seen an unprecedented level of opposition cooperation across the board from parties who've put aside different ideologies, different approaches to actually come together around this important cause. And I've no doubt that whatever the outcome of the 2 o'clock meeting will be, it will be a decision that's in the best interest of South Africa and moving this country forward again and starting to repair some of this huge damage that's been done by the Zuma atom bomb that's gone off. And I disagree with my counterpart, Jackson Timber, that getting rid of him would be like an atom bomb going off. I think the atom bomb's gone off already. What we're living with on a daily basis is a fallout from that atom bomb. Unemployment, crises of confidence within government, corrupt cabinet ministers, state capture, etc. That's all a fallout of the Zuma bomb that's already gone off. So what we should be doing as any forward-thinking parliamentarian, but how do we can contain that and start reversing the ill effects that it's had on the South African landscape?
All right, that's where we leave it. That is John Steenhuisen. Thank you so very much for coming onto the program. He's the DA's chief whip. General Bantuholo Misa, of course, also joined us there in the conversation. He had to rush for his 9:30 appointment. And, of course, we also thank him for his participation.